Sheer is starting right now. Please give your attention to Moshe Klein, oh, Shlita. You're live on Sheer Zone.
The topic of tonight's Sheer is Sugya of inviting to your shul people who are less observant than yourself, and perhaps they're Mechalei Shabbos. And the question is, somebody who's Mechalei Shabbos, could he get an aliyah? I'm sure we've heard of this question. As somebody who is Mechalei Shabbos, could he be part of the minyan if you only have 10? And what is considered being Mechalei Shabbos? We hear of these ideas of Befarhesia. What does it mean? How do we apply it? This year is sponsored anonymously, this is close before Shlema, Yisrael Ben Reizel, Yisrael Yitzchak Ben Reizel, and Rachel Chana Bas Kehl. So, as we started off on Shabbos, Rav Moshe in Siman Chaf Gimel brings down a Gemara on Daf Chaf Gimel. And when he said this here, he wrote it without writing it back to anybody. He just writes, Nishalti mitalmidei Rav Rav Avram Yosef Rosenberg, Shlita. And the question was not a lechatchila question. He writes, Im yesh b'shaz hadchak. When in Bishas Hadchak, could you be Mitzarev, you combine Mechalei Shabbos for a minyan of 10. This is the first shoe. So he says, yes. Rav Moshe says, yes. Why yes? So he starts off with a Gemara and Megillah. And the Gemara and Megillah on Daf Chav Gimel brings an idea of what we call Parsin al Shema. The Mishnah says, "Ein parsin al Shema, ein ayru l'fnei teva." And the Mishnah goes on to explain that in order to be able to be parsin al Shema, or down for the Amid and anything else like that, what do you need? You need 10. You can't have less than 10. What exactly is parsin al Shema? So Rashi explains, let's say you have a minion that comes to shul after the tzibur. They came late. Maybe they were eating their challens in the morning, whatever it was. So Rashi says, a minion, habal beis knesset, la'achar shekaru atzibur et shema, says Rashi, a person stands and says kaddish and baruch hu, and the first bracha of krishma. And person means a half a thing. So according to Rashi, the way Rashi understands and others Rishonim understand, Tosfos understands a little bit differently. Tosfos understands, it's at a different shot, we don't have to get into it. But the point is, 10 people, rather we will say a little bit of what Tosfos says in a moment. You need at least 10 people. They're not coming in for Tfilah B'Tzibur. Because they missed Tfilah B'Tzibur. Or they missed at least Shema. And a person says, Kaddish Baruch Hu, the first Baruch Hu Kriya Shema. Comes along Tosfos, and Tosfos says that the Rabbeinu Tam says, we're talking about 7 people who didn't hear with 3 others. Meaning, how many people are this? How many people weren't part of the minyan? So Rabbeinu Tam brings down, you need 7 people who didn't hear with 3 others. And he brings down in Masechta Sefer, and it says like this as well. And then Rabbeinu Tam says in Sefer Yashar in another place, 5. And then Taisa says on even with 3 who didn't hear. But then he brings down from the Talmidei Rashi, that even one person who didn't hear is able to be Parsin al Shema. Okay? So here's a very important idea. Even for one person will do whatever this thing is. Without getting into the sugya, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Chatatik B'Kadosh Baruch, is using from the sugya that since even for one person who needed Kaddish, and Baruch Hu, we will be Parsin al Shema, however that system works. We see over here a very important thing. We'll see what that means in a moment. What do we see? Rav Moshe says, step one, you need 10 people in order to be able to say a davar shebekdusha.
Mm-hmm.
But those 10 people will be utilized for one person who needed the kaddish and the kedusha or whatever it was that he's missing. Or and like Baruch Hu Atzen, an example. Step two. What type of 10 people constitute for this? It's not tefillah, but tzibur. It's in order to be able to say a davar shebekdusha.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that we have toich toich eda eda. What does that mean? So the Gemara further says, "V'netashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael." I am going to be sanctified b'soich b'nei Yisrael. Okay. We see from there you need 10. Now, how do you know there's 10? So we make a gzeir shava from the netashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, and he badlu mi toich eda. Separate yourself from this Eda, it's referring to Kairach. So we see Toich over there, and we see by Kairach it says Toich. And therefore, we see that by Kairach we had 10. How do we know by Kairach it was 10? We know Kairach it was 10. How do we know? So because in the Pasuk by Kairach it says, he padlu mi Toich Eda. How do we know Eda is 10? Because by the Meraglim it says that he was an Eda. And since Meraglim, there were 10. So it says Eda there. So we learned that after Kairach Eda. And since by Kairach, it says the word Toich. So over here, V'nektashi b'soich l'nei Yisrael, we know you need 10. Anything Davar Shev Kedusha, you need 10. Zer Shavu. Famous Zer Shavu. Step two. So the first step we see is when it comes to the concept of being Peret Al Shema, we'll do it even for one person, even though everybody was yaitzah, whatever they needed to be yaitzah for one person. Step number two, the 10 people are learned out from the Meraglim. Now, what type of people were the Meraglim? Says Rav Moshe, that the Meraglim were Kofrim. The Gemara in Erechim brings down on the Pasuk, Ki chazak hu mimenu. We cannot go into Eretz Yisrael because it is stronger than us. What would you say it's referring to? It's referring to the people in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara in Erechim, that says, well, no, it's not referring to the people in Eretz Yisrael, it's referring to Hashem. Says Rav Moshe. The Meraglim are Kofrim, because they're saying that Eretz Yisrael is too strong, stronger than Hashem. And at the same time, they're still considered an Eda, they're still considered part of, not part of, an Eda, a congregation. And if they're considered a congregation, and according to Rav Moshe, it's not just a congregation of Yisrael, says Rav Moshe, that will teach us a very important thing, that you could have Kofrim and they're considered an Eda. And we learn now that in order to be able to have 10, in order to be able to say a davar shebekdusha, you need 10. So you have 10. You could have 10 kofrim, it's considered a davar shebekdusha. This is what Rav Moshe says. What does it have to do with the fact that you're doing it for one person or you're doing it for 10 people? What is the difference? So this is what Rav Moshe goes and he diverts. He says, perhaps this is only going to work according to Rashi. Because according to Rashi, here's where it gets a little bit complicated what Rav Moshe means. He writes like this. We know when it comes to Shechita, a Kofer Shechita is possible. Shechita of a Kofer is going to be possible.
Then we know it's only Kofer.
We know he's a Kofer. He doesn't believe, whatever that means. Says Rav Moshe, so by Shechita, not good, but by over here it should be good. Why? If he's not part of Klal Yisrael and he can't shecht, so too, he's not considered part of Klal Yisrael as well when it comes to the Davar Shev Kedusha. He says no, because by when it comes to Shechita, it says clearly, it says Vizavachta. And we learn from Vizavachta, we make a drasha that whatever you do, you could, whatever you do, you could do. What does that mean? He says, for example, when it comes to tefillin, a person who can't wear tefillin can't write tefillin. A lady can't write tefillin. Why? Because she's not mechuyav to wear it. So too will say the same concept when it comes to shechita as well. Again, a kofer cannot write tefillin. A mummer cannot write tefillin. They're not mechuyav in it. That's right. So says Ramesha, by, we see such a concept specifically by Shechita. But anywhere else, we won't say that. However, this is maybe only when it's one person. But if you say that you have to have a roiv of a minion, according to the Shechita's Rabbeinu Tam that we brought in Taisus, that you need a roiv of a minion who didn't do the Davar Shebech Dusha, perhaps that teaches us that it's not enough that you have 10 Jews, you have to have 10 Jewish keepers of faith. The same way we find by Shechita, you have to have a higher level. By Shechita, it's not going to work. Are you Jewish? Because when it comes to Shechita, we know it's possible, and we have a special pasuk that teaches it to us. Perhaps we will borrow that when it comes to the Shechita of Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, in order for one to be able to be Paris al Shema, it's not enough that you just have 10 Jews in the room. You have to have 10 roiv of the minion that are going to be mekayim the mitzvah. They're going to be doing it. And therefore, a mummer perhaps is not mechuyav. Listen to what he's saying over here. He's saying a mummer, a person who is mechal Shabbos, perhaps he's not mechuyav in it. These are his words.
Mechuyav in what?
It's as if that, not that they're not mechuyav, but they're in the state of non-chiyah. So he said, Ramesha tries to make a distinction, perhaps, if you go like the Shita of the Rishonim, that it's not enough just to have doing it for one person. If it's do it for one person, that means, but actually you just have to have a group there. You have a group, but if it's more than you need a group, it's not just a group of 10 people in the room, it's a group of 10 people who roiv of them didn't daven, perhaps in that type of situation, according to those Shitas Rishonim, says Rav Moshe, that a mummer won't be able to combine. Because we see you need more than that. You need actually keepers of the faith. And a mummer's tefillah, according to Rav Moshe, a mummer's davar shebech dusha is not really anything. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, according to this, perhaps it won't work. But Ramesha says, I'm not sure about that. I have a suffix in there. But according to Rashi, that you only need to do it for one person. You could do it even for one person. That means you have 10 people in the room. They create that the Davar Shebech Dusha should be said, even if you have a mummer, which means even if you have a Mechal Shabbos, they could combine. Now, Ramesha receives backlash, because in truth, the Prima Gadim brings down, not so. The Prima Gadim says that a Mechal Shabbos cannot combine for a minion. He says it's simple and plain. Ramesh is arguing on that. Now, I want to read to you what it says in Siman Nun Hey Yud Aleph. It says like this. In Siman Nun Hey Yud Aleph, it writes, Avar Yon She'avar Al Gezeir Satsibur or She'avar Al Veira. If you have a person who does an Aveira who went against the Gezeir Satsibur, let's say the Sibur said something, he went against the decree of the Sibur. This is in Shulchan Aruch Siman Nun Hey Sif Yud Aleph. Oishav Over Aveira, or he did an Aveira. If they didn't excommunicate him, he could be part of the minion. Yes. Nunhei et al. Mr. Buru brings down the Prima Gadim. That's Dafka, if he did an Avera, because he had a taiva. But if he's going to try to do an Avera to get God angry, then, no, not accepted. As on the Prima Gadim, mm-hmm. Also a person who's Mechal Shabbos before Hestia. Person who is Mechal Shabbos before Hestia, he's like a guy, and he will not combine. So Ramesha is saying, not like the Prima Gadim. Rav Moshe is saying, we find over here by the Meraglim that they were parked. Rav Moshe at the same time, importantly, says that if they are part of the minyan, you will not fulfill your obligation of tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur, you won't be yotzei.
If they're part of the ten?
Correct. And here's where Rav Moshe gets his splitting hairs. His point is that they are a group, they're Jews. And in order to be able to make a Darur Sheva Kedusha, you don't need people doing davening because they're not considered doing davening. They're like considered like a woman. They're not, even if a woman davens, she's not considered doing davening to the point that she's part of the group. Says Rav Moshe, they're not considered daveners.
They don't know what they're doing.
Even if they do know what they're doing, when you're Machal Shabbos, you're not considered a davener.
Even know who the Machal Shabbos is not.
We're talking about a person that you know. You see him drive on Shabbos. You see him, and he comes to shul.
It's Bifar Hatsi.
Bifar Hatsi publicly.
It says his wife is Yari Mesa.
Says Ramesha, you're right, but they're part of the Jews. They may not be considered daveners, but they're still a chelik of the Jewish people. And in order to be able to say a davar sheva kedusha, that's all you need. Well, you weren't yet to feel the tzibur. That means kaddish works. Kaddish works, yes. You could say barku, you could say kedusha. Perhaps you could say shemayna esrei aleihem for them. But people, we weren't yet to feel the tzibur, because what does feel the tzibur mean? 10 people daven. These people daven are not considered daveners. But for kedusha, kaddish and kedusha is good. Why? Because you don't need daveners in order to be able to make Kaddish Kedusha. You only need one person. So we'll get to their amends in a moment. But this is how Ramesha says. Ramesha says, according to the sheets of Rishonim, who say that in order to be able to have the Kedusha, you have to have five people or six people who didn't daven. That is a little bit more difficult for him. But this is what Ramesha writes.
Okay. According to Rashi, though.
Only according to the sheets of Rashi. Now, I want to tell you a story that happened with the Stalner Rebbe. The Stalner Rebbe used to have, by his Shabbos Suda, all of the interesting people. The people who didn't have a place to go elsewhere. And the Gabbai sees a person pull up with a car and takes out a crumpled yarmulke out of his pocket and going to the meal. Now remember, we're going to the stone, the Rebbe, the Ish Kodesh Vitar Admoid. It's very improper on Shabbos, like, to drive to Shul, that's bad enough. To drive for your Suda when you weren't invited and you're just coming in for your challenge, that is a little bit abominable, if that's the right word.
What about forgot?
Not very nice. Very nice thing to do. The Gabbai sees and the Gabbai blows his top. Smoke is coming out of his nose.
Get angry though.
And he tells this guy who comes in, you coming in, take food? What are you doing? Michal Shabbos? The Gabbai, I believe his name was Zelig. And the Rebbe is in back of Zelig, tells him, get out. Tells the Gabbai, kick the Gabbai out.
Sure.
The Gabbai says, What? Get out. The Gabbai, according to the story, went over to the Rebbe once after by Kriyas HaTorah Mincha. Rebbe wouldn't talk to him. Finally, after another four times of going to the Rebbe, finally the Rebbe says to him, Zelig, this person, the only thing that he had Jewish in him was one, perhaps, kosher meal. And you're going to take that away from him also. How could he do that? This is a maisa. However, that doesn't answer that the person obviously didn't know better. And he Taka didn't have the brains to at least park, at least a block away. He Taka was doing it for Esio, which is Taka wrong. And the Taka Chil Shem Shemai. But according to Ramesha, that person could combine for Kaddish and Kedusha, but not for Tefillah B'Tzibur. But even that is only Shasat Chak. That doesn't mean L'chatkilo you should be inviting them. That clearly Rav Moshe writes, B'Shasat Chak. That's the first piece. Now, sounds like Rav Moshe is very, very nice. He's another tshuva which we should really be doing the second piece, which is, what about a Machal Shabbos to do Berachas Kehanim? Would a Machal Shabbos for Berachas Kehanim? He wants to get up and he wants to eat a Kayin and he wants to do Berachas Kehanim. Should he be able to do it? Unless he has nobody else in the shul to do it. Do we allow him to go? Do we not allow him to go? This tshuva was written, and he writes him, listen to his lashon. We're not going to say the tshuva now, but the way he gives stature to a person, he says, Rava goin hamafursin, marin rav shlemi hu de leba levi levitan shlita, the gaivir from Rock Island.
Rhode Island?
It says rock. What's the code?
I don't know
who he is. He is going to be Mater. Rav Moshe is going to be Mater them to do Berachas Kehanim.
Sure.
And he's going to say why.
Even though they are other Kehanim.
And he's going
to get an aliyah, right?
Directly against the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that they're not allowed to do Berachas Kehanim on Machal Shabbos before Hesed. Okay. Yes. Rav Moshe is going to go against, and he's going to say, I know I'm going against. He says, I know this, it's clear to me, even though it goes against the Arabisinu Achrayim. But we're not going to go to that piece right now. We're going to go to where it gets exciting, where Amisha brings a tshuva regarding getting an aliyah. Now, getting an aliyah, you would say, why not? The Makar of him. And not only that, we say, for a Darvish of Gedusha, they allow, which means, seemingly, for Kriya Satira.
Is it the seven aliyah?
For Kriya Satira. Maybe it should work or not. Now, we're talking about aliyah, even if you have a minion here. But could they be part of the minion for Kriya Satira? Rav Moshe himself, in the tshuva before, had a suffix on that piece. He wasn't sure about Kriya Satira, how many people you have to have mechuyev in Kriya Satira. However, listen to the words of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe writes that sometimes you have an apikaris to come to shul, or a form rabbi, or a conservative rabbi. What's the halacha? Says Rav Moshe like this. He wrote this in Tavshil Chav to Rav Meir Levi Edelbaum. He says, you can't say amen to his bracha. It's not considered a bracha at all. It's not even considered a bracha. I will quote his words just for emphasis. Even if he said it properly, and he writes, like most rabbis, now he's speaking specifically to a conservative rabbi and a reform rabbi. Now we're going to have to bridge that to be Mechal Shabbos before Hesed. Because we're going to see...
The rabbi is very often Orthodox, but they themselves, but the congregants aren't.
He says, those people who rock kedvar ba'alma, by his, those words are like words. They're not with kavan to Hashem Yisparach. Reform rabbis who saw this, they got so insulted. And they wrote back, it's high time that Rav Moshe understands that we also have Yerush Shemayim. They were so insulted. He said it's not a bracha at all. Ain't that b'shem bracha klal. It's like you didn't say Hashem. And he says, what's the right? He says, Rav Moshe, what's the right? He says, the Rambam brings down in Perek Vav from Hilchos Yisrael Yatayra, Olchokhaz, that an apikairus who wrote a Sefer Torah, what do you do with the Sefer Torah? For example, let's say you find an Old Testament written by a Geisha company.
You burn it.
What do you do with it? And the Shemus or the Nashim. So over here, Rav Moshe over here is saying that the Rambam says, since they don't believe in the Kedushas Hashem, says the Rambam, he holds it like anything else.
You
have to burn it.
You burn it.
Because they have no Kedusha whatsoever.
You're not going it.
Says the Rambam, why do you burn it? I'm answering your question, Yaakov.
Wow.
We don't want Apikarsim to be able to have any imprint on society.
An
Apikairis. Or by a guy.
How did Apikairis write it?
He did.
I'll tell you a story.
He wrote it.
No, I can tell a story, but not now. I'll tell a story.
Says Ramosha, what do we see from this Rambam? We see from this Rambam that somebody who doesn't believe in the Kedushas Hashem, the letters that he writes are like any other letters, so too the letters that he speaks are like any other letters. And therefore, says Ramosha, his words are not Kaddish. And therefore,
you're not going to kibbutz, man.
His words are not Kaddish. So
then I have a chorus.
Before let's take a step back for a moment. Rav Moshe over here is speaking clearly on reform rabbis and conservative rabbis. Now, before we take a step further, let's ask ourselves the question. Is a Mechalo Shabbos Befer Hesya the same level of a Kofer?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Is a person who Mechalo Shabbos publicly? Now, this is before we get to the Chazanesh. Heter, I'm leaving the Chazanesh Heter for a moment.
Does he know that he's doing it on purpose?
He knows he's doing it on purpose.
Like they're not all just Jews, but they're not.
But he's doing it before
Hesed.
It doesn't make a difference because this is what the Prima Gadim brings down. A mumer for Avodah Zarah or to be Mechal Shabbos for Hesed, the Prima Gadim says he is like a goy. He's like a goy.
It could be the Finnish Yishuv currently.
So before the Chazanesh, they have a Tanech Shanishpa. Let's see a person who actually knows. He knows, he hears, but he just doesn't hear. He had too big of a taiva. But he actually knows. He does know. I'm trying to bring out what's the reason. I may feel bad for those people. And I may love those people because I would love to bring them back to Yiddishkeit. And I would love to be makar of them. However, at the same time, Rav Chaim Brisker said a line. He said, Nebuch an Apikairis is also an Apikairis. It may be a Nebuch on him, but he's still an Apikairis. The Prima Gadim Paskin, that if somebody's Mechal Shabbos is for Hesya, even if it's for Teyavoyin, he has a Teyavoyin, he's still considered like a guy in all these things.
So someone is considered an Apikairis if he's Mechal Shabbos for Hesya?
So therefore, he holds that you can't.
What does it tell us? 612 mitzvahs from Shabbos.
That's exactly what the Gemara in Kulin brings down. That in that situation, he's a mumer l'chol ha'terek kula.
He's a mumer.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. What he told. Exactly. Now,
mumer means at the chorus.
Yeah, mumer means somebody who is rebelling against the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara says that there's the Shabbos, or rebelling against Shabbos, is really rebelling against the Kol Terekul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hold on. Let's go to the next Shubha. And we'll come to see how complicated this will get to. Now, Ramesh in the next Shubha writes, the next Shubha is about being Mechaber somebody in Shul, who does an Avera, but people need him like a doctor. He has money. And this person is not available. But what is the case? So listen to this. Hine, I want to read to you his tshuva. We're not going to get to a culmination of this due to time constraints on what the Pesach Halacha L'Maaseh should be. We're not going to get to the Chazanish about what he says. He has a famous tshuva, three pages of the idea of a tinnik shenishba. But we're going to bring the confusing parts of this to be able to, because if you're not going to get confused at first, you're not going to understand where all the questions are coming from. What are the questions? Where do we have to see? Why is Ramesh saying something here and something not like that in another place? And then we'll somehow try to bring it all together. And Mr. Hashem next week. But Ramesh writes like this. You have a Yiddish writing. And he writes, he's a Baal Midas Rachamim. He gives tzedakah in a great way. That means it's very charitable. And he does very nice things for the congregation, but he's married to a guy. It doesn't say about him in Chal Shabbos. What do? And he writes that this person feels very, very meruchik from the Kal. He feels like he's being pushed away from the congregation. And he's very insulted. He's saying, I'm giving a lot of money. I am doing tremendous amount. I am helping keeping people alive in your community.
This is the way you treat.
And he wants to know if he should get at least allow me open up the urn and close it.
She's an Angolian. A woman is a virgin.
And Ramesha writes in the tshuva to Rav Shimon Aryeh Eckstein that this is going to jeopardize this person's contributions and help. You push him away, he's going to push you away. Now, Rav Moshe's tshuva is based on chanifa. What is considered chanifa or not?
Well, Dan talked about this today. Yesterday.
Fakeness.
It's about flattery, the dangers of it.
Flattery is a fakeness, falseness.
So he says like this, the real issue over here is chanifa, because when it comes to opening up and closing the aron, there's really no iser. And then he writes,
you should give the normal just guy that thing anyway.
And then he says, the af literary la Torah, even to call him up to the Torah, hear very well his words. Im hurak balavera, if he's just a balavera, l'teyavin, because he has a taiva, l'ke isser ba'esim, it's not an usser ba'esim, im einenu kaifer, if he's not a kaifer. The kaifer umum l'hakas yesh l'isser ba'esim, if he's a kaifer, or he's trying to get God angry, then you have to ask him, Hashem, the ain't coming up to learn l'am b'teres Hashem b'kriyasim. They're not trying to learn teres Hashem. As he said before, in the previous tshuva, that a kaifer, which he equates conservative rabbis to kaifrim, he had no rachmanis on them.
What am I doing with the security?
They know the stuff and they still.
He said, "Vavid devrayim, their words are kikriyas rak, kikriyas var ma'amo." It's not considered like saying teres Hashem, and he brings down the Rambam that he brought down before, and therefore he says that's not considered anything. So too, their words are not considered anything. Mm-hmm. So he's saying only by them it's considered a problem. Mm-hmm. However, if it's not but what is the shayla? A problem of chanifa. That's where the shayla is. And therefore he says, a long shuva, and the Lamaisa said there is a problem of chanifa.
The Ibishka doesn't take shaykhat.
Oh, he changed his mind?
Shaykhat.
No, he's saying what the Isser is. The Isser is not an Isser. If the guy is Be'etim, not a Kaifer and Hashem, he's just married to a guy. He's saying that Isser.
What's the Isser of marrying a guy? Come on, fix your Be'etim.
Boil or Amis, Kanaim, Poison, boy. You kill him. Kanaim, Zalot, Avada, kill him. The Gemara says. Boil or Amis, Kanaim, Poison, boy. That's exactly what
the
Pentecost is. The Zimri.
The children will not be Jewish.
The children are not Jewish.
That's a big
problem.
Well, hold on. What about a gay guy that took 12 mitzvahs, but he doesn't get that one?
We'll get there. Which is worse.
So he says,
one
is close to the right idea, but he married the wrong.
He ends off saying, after a long tshuva, what's considered chanufa, flattery, He says, "Im kein gam lechadlik b'psichas of zikiras aron, shem is that in yeshek and nami ula yesh is that is to betakatufa could be dirat chanifa could be dirat." But he says, "Lemais, it's not clear iser. It might just be a maila toiva, a good thing. So it could be you should be make on back if there's a big tzair gadol, but not for kriyas atayr. Kriyas atayr in such an individual not.
Yeah, an aliyah.
An aliyah."
What?
Kriyas HaTaira for such an individual now.
This is Shoicha. Because he's giving money, basically, you're alone.
Shoicha Gadol is not the money, though.
Huh?
Isn't Shoicha Gadol the money?
Shoicha could be mitzvah.
Still need the money? Or like
could pressure. Be mitzvah.
So,
for the minion. Which one?
So, let
huh?
So, he's saying on this person married to a guy, you can't give an aliyah. If you give sticha, exactly.
Could he lane? He can aliyah, but could he lane?
Seemingly, he can't be mighty. Seemingly not. Now let's review the problems and let's make more problems. And Mirta Shem, next week we're going to do a few more. We're going to do more tshuvas, and with the further tshuvas, it's going to clarify some. We started off with that they're allowed to be part of a minyan for a darvish, shem, dusha, and for kaddish. That we said they're allowed to do. That we said is clear. Ramesha said he's allowed to do peshat
hatcha. But it's not tefillah b'tshuva.
But it's not tefillah b'tshuva. Then we brought down the apikarsim for kriyas ha-tayra. They're not allowed to get an aliyah. That Ramesha writes vehemently, they're not allowed to get servidim and reforms. He brought down the Rambam. He said that brachas are not considered brachas. Then he diverted to the next tshuva about a person married to a goy, if he's allowed to get a kibbut, if there's an iser of chanifa, or if there's not an iser of chanifa, he says perhaps it is. He's unsure about it, or he says it's kan l'kan. So he says for kriyas ha-tayra, for getting an aliyah, don't give him.
No.
But for psicha and skiris aroin, peshasat chak, where there's a big tzairach, you go ahead and give
it. But there's never a sorach for that.
So what do you do? What's
the sorach? Where's the shasat chak for psicha? He just gets someone else to do it.
He doesn't say what the shasat chak is.
The money.
Money.
Well, not the money.
But it says, like, you can't
show it. It's a tzairach for them to be mechabedin. He doesn't answer that. He doesn't say on that. He doesn't speak about this in the show. Now, we didn't answer Lemaisa. Here's
Orthodox Jews. They don't want to go out to show.
Yeah.
Now, you have 3 more minutes for this year. Let's bring it to, let's at least start the resolution.
Wait.
Oh, so we're up to the next piece. Wait, I didn't finish. I didn't. So now there's a tshuva in Simcha Beis in Arachayim Gimel. I apologize, Aryeh, if it's not exciting enough for you.
No, it's very exciting. We just got to have a few more bomb things.
Okay, so a few more bombs. What do we do about a person who's a homosexual comes into shul? What do we do with such a guy like that? This guy is married to a guy. Now, the fact that he's married to a guy, I don't even know what that means. He's not married. The fact that he's... their relation. The fact that he has a desire for the person, there's nothing wrong with the desire. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu created him like that.
But it's
the fact that he's acting on it is where the problem is.
Mishkav Zohar is very...
Mishkav Zohar is a tzeiva. So Ramesha writes like this. So Ramesha, in the first tshuvas, didn't write clearly B'chal Shazim for Hestia. You see how he went to reform, and he said that brachas are not brachas. And then he went to a person married to a guy, but he didn't speak about B'chal Shazim for Hestia. That you had to wait a bunch of years later. 5 years later, he wrote to Mordechai Tamar, and he says, he equates B'chal Shazim for Hestia and a person who's Kaifa B'tayra. He says, you should not be mechab to those rishon. And he writes that they're rishon. Even if you have, even though you have to be mechabed them, you can. Now,
why is it too mechabed them?
Now, says Ramosha. Says Ramosha. A person, and he first says that the person is kaif the Torah. He brings down again this Rambam. He says, also somebody mechal shabbos for Hesia, he's a kaif for Maisa Bereishis. Such a person like that doesn't believe in Hashem, because Shabbos means that Hashem created the world. That's the basics of Shabbos. And if you are being mechal shabbos for Hesia, you're basically saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create the world. But here's the big but, Ramosha said. Avlam Yadua Shechel Shabbos Hu is just what the other. For example, let's say the guy puts on tefillin.
Finish.
He doesn't say the word Tzimtzum Finish. He says he's putting on tefillin. And he daven. So then Ramosha says he's different. Even though he's in Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, his bracha is considered a bracha. That means, a person who doesn't put on tefillin, Ramosha holds, the guy could be well-meaning, he doesn't believe in Hashem. Because if you believe in Hashem, there's a level that Hashem created the world. You said to rest on Shabbos. You're not resting on Shabbos. What are you doing? Ramosha doesn't use that heter. We have to bring out. He doesn't use that. That's going to come next week to Chazanish. Ramosha doesn't hold it. Ramosha says that person knows. He knows it. So he's Mechal Shabbos Beres here. But if the person puts the floor, Ramosha says, then he's just somebody that bought Baal Taiva, and then...
He's
Yosef the Mitzvah Tzolun. Regarding his bracha, that means you can't be a Sheikhet. He can't be a Sheikhet, but his bracha is considered a bracha, and therefore, you could call him for a Kriyas HaTeru.
I think the Hesed was more mature than the cousin.
So he said, in such a situation, you could give him, that person puts up soon, you could give him an Aliyah. Now, that he ends up saying, it's L'tzorech Godol Ma'oid. It has to be a big Tzorech. Avu Yeshchol V'tzorech Godol Ma'oid Yeshchol Hatzol B'Kubudim. But it has to be, but sometimes a person doesn't believe at all, you're not allowed to give it. So come that according to Ramesha, a huge chiddush. Ramesha holds that the reason why this Mechal Shabbos, if he puts on tefillin, that means he really does believe in Hashem. He just has a huge type. Let's take, for example, a person, he just loves going to the bar. He just loves hanging out with friends. He really believes in Hashem. And he knows that he's supposed to be keeping Shabbos. Now, although the Gemara says that a Mumra L'Tiyavan and the Prima Dadim says he's Bifar Hesya, he's considered like a Mumr. But Ramesha is saying, even in that, it's only because it's showing that he doesn't believe in Hashem. When the Gemara brings down that a Mumr L'Tiyavan, a person is rebelling for desire for Shabbos, is Kekai for B'chol Terekula, and he's like a guy. That's only because, no, even if it's L'Tiyavan, if it's Bifar Hesya, if it's publicly, Ramesha bring down that Rashi and Chulin saying the pshat is because he's showing that he doesn't believe in Hashem. But if you know he really does believe in Hashem, that's not with word, it has to be with actions. He puts on phone, then such an individual like that, you could call him up for Kriyas HaTorah if it's a Tzairach, God of Mahay. So we'll speak about that next week.
What?
So what, in final analysis for this individual, he can't be a Sheikhet. But a person who is Mechal Shabbos, and he comes to Shul, and he does put on tefillin,
and he makes brachas.
His brachas is considered a bracha, you could say a name. He's not like those Reform rabbis, and you could give him an aliyah that says Tzairich Gadol Ma'ayit. However, what about the gay individual? A person who's gay, and he's openly practicing Atayeva. Could we be Mekel even with Tzairich Gadol Ma'ayit? Or not?
We don't know what he's doing.
We're going to have to continue part two next week.